week I went to see the movie The Impossible, which is an amazing movie and likely to be in town a very short period of time. It is a powerful, gripping story of the tsunami that devastated the Indian Ocean on Boxing Day in 2004. Even as the film zeroes in on the true story of one family's experience, it manages to convey a sense of the scope and the depth of this tragedy that claimed more than 230,000 lives in many countries spread over the Indian Ocean region. The Impossible is full of heroes, and the common denominator of the heroism in the movie is compassion. This is what the mother in the family the movie focuses on tries to teach her oldest son as the two of them face this calamity together. Once the tsunami waves calm, this badly injured mother and her oldest son, largely unhurt but traumatized beyond belief, they attempt to slog their way toward higher ground. As they do so, they hear a small child calling for help. The son is understandably worried that his mother might not survive her injuries. He wants to ignore the plea, press on to safer ground, and hopefully to medical assistance for his mom. But his mom will have none of it. At the risk of her own life, and, you know, honestly, possibly her son's life, she insists that they stop and help this small child. Their calamitous situation is not going to be an excuse to stop being compassionate. Instead, for the mom, it elicits even deeper compassion. A little later on in the movie, the mom is in a makeshift hospital bed, and her son is sitting by her side, and she tells her son that he should go see if he could help anybody else rather than just sitting by her side doing nothing. Unsure what to do, he mills around the hospital a little bit, and then he realizes that the hospital is full of people looking for lost loved ones. So he takes it upon himself to collect the names of some of the missing loved ones, and then he wanders through the sprawling hospital to see if any of them might be actually at the hospital in another part of it. It's apparent in the movie that this mother has exercised her compassion muscle so much that it is her default stance in the face of life. We know this because this reflex to be compassionate has not abandoned her, even in this direst of moments. You can see her try to teach her son the way of compassion so that, over time, it will become his default response to life as well. And this, my friends, this is the life of heroism. So many others in the movies are heroes, too. There's the strangers who help the son and the mother get to the hospital. There's the medical personnel struggling to cope with a calamity beyond their wildest imaginations, as well as way beyond all of their resources. There's others who, in spite of aching and feeling in terror over lost loved ones, stop and reach out to help other people. Mr. Rogers' message that wherever there's trouble, there's going to be helpers is nowhere more evident than in the millions of acts of compassion in the midst of the tsunami. Well, the same day I saw The Impossible, I read an article in the New York Times about a series of underaged parties that took place in Steubenville, Ohio, late last summer. Twitter posts, videos, and photographs circulated the next day showed an unconscious girl being sexually assaulted over several hours while others passively watched. Two standout high school athletes were later charged with rape and with kidnapping. The local police chief begged for witnesses to come forward, but few did. And of course, no one intervened to stop the assault. No one called the police. There was a shocking acquiescence in the face of this horrific violence. Many, I guess, blamed the girl for the assault because she had become intoxicated, or deemed somehow that these star athletes were more important than her. So we have a juxtaposition. On the one hand, we have people, injured people, in the midst of one of the world's greatest disasters, reaching out in compassion to others. On the other hand, we have people standing by as a girl experiences unspeakable violence and violation for hours. And in this juxtaposition lies the basic human choice. Are we going to reach out in compassion to others, or are we going to perpetrate and condone cruelty? Are we going to be helpers, or are we going to be bystanders to suffering and violence and pain? If the mom had let her son not help that small child, she would have allowed him to put himself on the side of indifference. Of course, she and he would have had ample reason for that choice. They were clearly in dire straits, had their plates more than full trying to fend for themselves, but not helping that child would have been the wrong answer to this basic human choice, and this mom could not bear to watch her son make that wrong choice. Are you going to side with compassion and love, or are you going to side with pain and cruelty and indifference? That is life's central question. Today, tomorrow, right up to the last day we live. Heroes stand on the side of compassion and love. The woman and her son in The Impossible, the sixth grader that Connie shared about in the call to gather, who dressed and fed and walked to school, a sibling, or the students in Connie's call to gather who intervened to stop bullying, or Abby Burgess at the lighthouse. They all stood on the side of compassion. They're all heroes. They all answered this basic human question correctly. The great mythologist Joseph Campbell says that a hero is someone who has given his or her life to something greater than oneself. And I think a good word for that something greater is compassion. And I don't mean to suggest that this basic life choice is always easy or clear-cut. Often it's incredibly complicated. I think about that movie Sophie's Choice, where the Holocaust forced a woman to choose between her two children, which one would survive. In a breathtaking example of human cruelty, the Nazis made Sophie choose. Now that's an extreme example, but the truth is that often the answer to this basic human question is very complex. And just about every human being makes the wrong decision some of the time, every single one of us. I doubt there's a single person in this room who, if I ask you to think about a time that you stood by pain or cruelty or suffering and did nothing, I bet there's not a single person who couldn't think of such a time. I certainly can. Maybe we knew all along that what we were doing was the wrong thing, or maybe we did our best and in hindsight realized the choice we made was wrong. And certainly all of us have sided with compassion, but done so badly or ineffectively or ineptly. All this is part of what it means to be a human being. Heroes pick themselves up after making the wrong choice or bungling the right choice. They learn from their mistakes. They try again the next time. All of this is why I continue to believe in original blessing and in original sin. To me, original blessing means that we are all born with inherent goodness. We are born with the capacity to stand on the side of love and compassion. And original sin means we are all born with the capacity to be cruel or indifferent in the face of pain and suffering. Both of these capacities are basic to the human condition. We have it in us to reach out to save this little kid in distress in the tsunami, and we all have it within us to stand by as a young girl is raped. How we respond to the choice between cruelty and indifference on the one hand and love and compassion on the other hand, this is the relentless, fundamental, spiritual question in life. There's another aspect of heroism, and I think ultimately it's related. A major focus of Joseph Campbell's work was on the hero's journey. He noticed that the hero's journey is a theme that seems to cross suggested that at the heart of the hero's journey is the quest to find, in his words, that inward thing you basically are. That inward thing you basically are. And then to live in accordance with that inward thing. Finding and living in accordance with this inner truth, that's basically an interior journey that each of us has to go through. Mythology, whether it's the story of the Buddha in his sheltered palace deciding he needed to see and face the reality of life, or Jesus with the temptations in the wilderness, or Luke Skywalker's fulfilling his destiny. That mythology paints that interior picture in the outer world. Now, I would qualify Campbell's understanding a little bit. As I said a moment ago, I believe there's both original blessing and original sin within each of us. So the capacity to love and be compassionate is part of who we are, so is the capacity to be cruel and indifferent. The heroic journey involves figuring out how to act on that blessing part of us, on that compassionate part. And it means figuring out how not to act out of that cruel part of ourselves. Back to the mother in the impossible. She certainly had it within her to ignore that young child in need. She also had the capacity to respond to the cry. And her heroic choice was to live compassionately. This inner goodness that is within each one of us, I think, is unique. As Campbell evocatively put it, what each must seek in his or her life never was, on land or sea. Each of us are looking for this inner good that is absolutely unique within each of us. My inner goodness is not going to be the same as the tsunami mom's. Yours is not going to be the same as mine. We are each unique embodiments of this inherent goodness. And at the same time, paradoxically, there is a oneness that resides in this goodness within all of us. That's what I call the divine, or God, or Emerson's oversoul. So, what I believe is that within each human person there is this unique and also this unified inner goodness, and it's in every person. It's in Hitler. It's in those people that stood by and watched the girl getting raped in Steubenville. It's in all of us. This is, I think, part of our Unitarian Universalist affirmation of the inherent dignity and worth of all people. What this means is that each one of us has a sacred charge to find that inner goodness and to act out of it. We have the sacred charge to live heroic lives. And even though January is young yet, and we have not delved too deeply into this theme, it is already pretty clear to me that a lot of us kind of flinch at this idea of trying to live a heroic life. Me? Hero? I don't think so. And I think we're probably rightly wary of the people that do proclaim that they are heroes. That's usually kind of a sign of egotism. You know, I'm inclined when I look at my life to say I've never once done anything heroic. You know, heroism, that's not me. That's this mom in the impossible. That's the first responders who charged into the Twin Towers to save people while everybody else was trying like crazy to get out of there. That's Satwant Singh Kalika, the president of the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, opting not to hide in the temple, but instead to go out and try to stop this assailant, even though all this man had in his hand was a butter knife. That's Lieutenant Brian Murphy, the first responsible at that horrific scene at the temple, trying to stop the assailant, even though he knew his backup was not there and would not get there for several more minutes. How can I talk about myself being a hero in the company of these kinds of people? But then I think about Lieutenant Murphy in the aftermath of that horrible day in Oak Creek. Hear his actions save lives without a doubt. And what does he say? I'm not a hero. I was just doing my job. Same thing that a lot of those surviving first responders in 9/11 said. I'm not a hero. Anybody would have done what I did. That's what we do. These first responders in these stories were acting out of that place of compassion and blessing and love. Like the mom in the movie, they chose to act in that way. This is heroism. This is living in accordance with the inner goodness. And so I want us, as Unitarian Universalists, to own the value of heroism. We all should indeed strive to live lives characterized by heroism. We all should strive to know and act out of this inner goodness. We all should strive to live our lives to help the greater good. The impossible captures well the multitude of good human deeds done in this vast area that was impacted by the tsunami. Most of these deeds will never, ever be known by anyone except maybe the people they helped, and sometimes even they won't know. This is the way of heroism. It is mostly little noted nor long remembered by other people. Heroism is always embodied by ordinary people, like you, like me, like Lieutenant Murphy. Ordinary people. Whether we're famous or not, ultimately, we are all ordinary people. We all have the same capacity to do right and to do wrong. Every hero, every person is ordinary. So here's my takeaway from contemplating heroism. It is that the key to living the heroic life is to find and live out of that inner goodness. And the heart of doing that is compassion for self, for others. And a great way to do this is to practice compassion so that, like the mom in the movie, it becomes our instinctive, reflexive response to life. Strive to make compassion the default orientation of your life. Do this, and you will be one of Mr. Rogers' helpers. Do this, and you will be a hero. More than likely, you will be an unknown hero. For sure, you will be an imperfect hero, but you will be a hero